brothers and sisters in Christ. I mentioned at the beginning of the service, 16 of us just got back from Nicaragua last night. We're a little bit sleep deprived. But I have to tell you, I love going to Nicaragua. It was my fourth time. And every time I go, I just come back so inspired. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons I love to go to Nicaragua is the lack of distraction. We had a couple people in our group who, in fact, refused to bring their cell phones because they didn't want to be distracted. I made a mistake. I had my cell phone, and at night, when we had Wi-Fi, I checked it. I'll admit, I spent much time being distracted on my cell phone. I admired, at the end of the week, those who hadn't brought their cell phones and hadn't been distracted. Sometimes you need to get away to some other place, to a different place, a place where you don't have the same kind of schedule, the same kind of interruptions, the same kind of things coming at you like TV and radio and text messages and voicemail and everything else and email. You need to just get away sometimes, because it's when you get away you can best notice God. I wonder if the disciples had that issue. I wonder if the disciples struggled a little bit with distraction. You know, sometimes we have this tyranny of the urgent. It's really always just taking care of the urgent things that are before you that in so doing you can neglect the important. You're so busy doing the urgent that the important things never get done, like listening to Jesus. The disciples have been so busy going with Jesus here, going with him there, making sure that they were caring for people, dealing with all of his plans and the crowds and feeding crowds and doing all of the ministry, that I wonder if they just needed some time away. I think Jesus thought so. He picked three of them, three of the leaders within the disciples, and took them away to a mountain. We don't know which mountain. Scholars think it was maybe Mount Tabor. Took them away to this mountain. Went up on the mountain, and they had an experience. No longer were they distracted. There they were, in the presence of Jesus, and as it turns out, not only Jesus, but Moses and Elijah too. And of course, they're so used to being busy that what is Peter's response? Oh, Lord, it is good that we are here. Maybe we need to get busy. I know. How about we build three tents? Yeah, guys, let's get going. Three tents. One for you, Jesus. One for you, Moses. One for you, Elijah. And it was as if, you know, we get so used to just being busy that they needed just to occupy themselves. The Gospel of Luke, when it talks about this story, says Peter said these things because he didn't know what to say. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We just make words because we need to say something. We don't know what else to say. And then suddenly, they're enveloped in this cloud. And when you're enveloped in a cloud, and you can't even see your hand in front of you, much less anybody else, it's then that everything slows down. It's then that you're able to pay attention. In fact, it's in a cloud when you can't see that you're forced to use other senses like hearing. And this voice comes from the cloud. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. All your busyness, all your distractions, all you fill your life with, get away from it all. Slow down. Listen. Pay attention to what's important, not just what's urgent. I think we all need to do a better job paying attention, don't we? You know how the story goes, don't you? It's a common story. It happens in households around our country every morning. She comes out to the breakfast table. He's sitting there reading the newspaper. She starts to pour her heart out to him, telling her all the things that she's been thinking, all the things that she's been going through, pouring her heart out. He's going, as he's what? Reading the newspaper. Finally, in her frustration, she simply gets exasperated and says, "Would you put down the newspaper and listen to me?" He goes, "I've been listening to you." And then he repeats back everything she just said. Now let me ask you, does that make her satisfied? Is she satisfied with that? No! Well, I'm glad one guy's got it right. No, she's not satisfied with that. Why? Because she doesn't want a relationship with a tape recorder? If she wanted a relationship with a tape recorder, she wouldn't have needed him. She doesn't need just to have something repeated back to her. She wants him to notice her. She wants him to pay attention. Paying attention is a very significant thing in our lives. I don't think many of us do a good enough job of paying attention. A study was done. It was regarding a teacher in a classroom, and the students in this classroom were in on the study. The ones doing the study had told the students, look, when the teacher starts to move toward the right side of the classroom, lose attention, slouch in your chairs, don't give the teacher eye contact, put down your pencils, act bored. When the teacher starts to move to the left side of the classroom, start paying attention. Sit up in your chair. Put your pencil on your paper. Start giving eye contact. Start nodding with approval. Well, the students did this. And every time the teacher moved one way, the students didn't care. The teacher started moving the other way, and they started getting real invested. What do you think happened by the end of the semester? By the end of that semester, that teacher was pinned up against the wall on the left side of the classroom. The teacher learned that that's where they got the attention that they were seeking and needing and desiring. Giving a person attention shapes a person's behavior. Giving a person attention changes a person's life. Any of you who have done public speaking know what I'm talking about. When you do public speaking, you look for people who are actually listening to you, who are making eye contact with you, who through their facial expressions are sort of acknowledging that they're understanding what you're saying, and what you're feeling as a speaker is, hey, they're with me in this. There's other people that as a speaker you tend to not look at. They're the people who are not showing you much attention, who are acting almost kind of bored, who are looking down and you see their thumbs doing something that doesn't look like they're paying attention, though sometimes they tell you later that they are. It can be a frustrating thing when you're trying to speak and a person is not paying you that attention. It can be a hard thing. I remember the first time I preached, somebody fell asleep in my sermon, started snoring. That is not an encouraging thing. Jerry Van Hoosier always compliments me after every sermon. Pastor, I stayed awake again for that one. I'm afraid of the day, Jerry, that I put you to sleep. I bet it'll happen. We tend people, when they pay attention to us, it's powerful. You know, it's interesting, this phrase. How do we distribute attention? We pay attention. Attention is like money. We pay it. It has value. There's a story about Jesus paying attention. The story is found in John chapter 9. It's 41 verses long. I'm not going to read all of that to you this morning, but I want to share with you a few verses from the beginning of chapter 9 of John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus says neither. Neither was born blind, but this man was born blind so that God might be glorified. Then Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. He put that mud on the man's eyes. He then said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Then he went and he returned, being able to see. The neighbors of this man who had been born blind, this beggar, began to say, was this the man who was sitting and begging? Some said it was he, and others said, nah, it was somebody else. Some things I want you to notice about this story about paying attention. This was a man born blind. He had been at that gate his whole life, born blind, right? So he had been there his whole life. And nobody was paying attention to him because he was not a person of significance. He was blind. He was a beggar. Easy to ignore. You know what he was going through, don't you? I mean, how many times have you seen or driven by or walked by that individual holding the sign, will work for money? Notice what other people do when they look at that person or when they go near that person. Just watch the crowd behavior around that person. Notice how many people are averting their eyes from that person. Notice how many people are trying to pretend they don't see that person. Why? Because they know if that person catches their eye, suddenly you're paying attention to them. And when you're paying attention to them, you're feeling some sense of responsibility to care for them. You're feeling some sense of obligation now to this person. This person has caught your attention. We don't want to have to respond. We don't want to have to feel any sense of responsibility. So what do? We avert our eyes from that person. This was this man's story for a long time. This was a man who knew what it meant to be ignored. Notice what the first verse was that I read from John chapter 9. It said, as Jesus walked along, he saw a man. He saw him, meaning he looked at him, meaning he paid attention to him. That's an amazing thing. If you look in this chapter 9 of John, just circle how many times you see the word see. That verb to see comes up again and again and again and again. This is really a chapter about what it means to see. Jesus pays attention to an insignificant looking person. And you know what that means, of course. What that means is that Jesus pays attention to you and to me. Jesus pays attention. He pays attention to all of us, which is something I think that we need to consider what that means, because, you know, Jesus actually notices you. He pays attention to you, which means he pays attention to every little detail in your life. You know that you're boring to a lot of people. You know that, don't you? I have to realize that about myself. I'm boring to a lot of people. But I'm not boring to Jesus, nor are you. Jesus is not in the least bit bored by you at all. He is immensely interested in you and in your life. He notices you. He looks at you. He doesn't avert his eyes when he sees you. He looks at you and he pays attention to you. That's a significant thing when you think about what that really can mean for our lives. Well, Jesus notices this man. And then there's this conversation. Who sinned? Was it the parents of this man? Was it this man? Why was this man born blind? Who's culpable for this man's blindness? Jesus says it's not about culpability. This man was not born blind because of anybody's sin. But then he says something really interesting. He says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming. While it is day, what does that mean? Well, what Jesus is saying here is, look, you have a limited opportunity in front of you to pay attention to and care for the people who are around you. Night is coming. You don't have forever, right? It's a limited opportunity that you have been given to pay attention to those who have been put in your path. Limited opportunity. Some things have a shelf life. Some things are very limited in the opportunity that you have. I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was now, but we had an epic snowstorm in Minnesota on Halloween. Usually epic snowstorms don't come that early in Minnesota, but this time it was like 10 feet of snow. Did I mention it was Halloween? My kids wanted to go trick-or-treating. And I said, well, you know, we can maybe try tomorrow. I bet everybody's going to have a snow day today. No, you don't get a snow day. You don't get a do-over when it comes to Halloween. Right? It's a limited opportunity. You get one day to get the candy, right? After that, people are not opening the door and thinking that you're cute asking for candy. You get one shot at this. So I took the kids out in the snowstorm. Now, they had cute costumes on, but you wouldn't have known it, right? They had hats and gloves and boots and big parkas on. And they went, and we went to a couple of doors before they were exhausted. And I figured, we've got a big bowl of candy at home. They're welcome to it, right? But they only had you have a limited opportunity. Think of the people in your life. Think of the people that you encounter in a daily basis. You may never have another opportunity to encounter these individuals. We must do the works of him who sent us while it is day. Notice Jesus' language here. He does not say, I must do the works of him who sent me while it is still day, for night is coming. What does he say? He says, we must do the works of him who sent me. We. Jesus and us together. We must do the works of him who sent me. Think about that for a moment. You and I have been given a mission by God to participate in the works of God with Jesus himself. This is inclusive, we, so that we might do the works of God while it is day. We've been given a mission. How many of you remember a movie from years ago? Was it the 80s? Probably back in the 80s, called The Blues Brothers. Remember The Blues Brothers? It took place in Chicago. You remember that? Well, The Blues Brothers was a movie about two bumbling musicians, right? Played by John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. And they were bumbling musicians. They were kind of comedic figures. And every now and then someone would ask them, "What are you doing?" And they always had a stock answer. Do you remember their stock answer? "We're on a mission from God." Remember that? And of course, that was the joke. That was the punchline. Because how could these bumbling, ordinary, wannabe musicians possibly be able to have a mission from God? I think the world is sort of set up that way. I think the world apart from God is sort of set up to tell you, how could you, as ordinary as you are, possibly have a mission from God, right? But consider the alternative. The alternative is that you don't have a mission from God, that nobody has a mission from God, that God is not particularly interested in this world, that God doesn't really care about the needs of anyone, so he's not going to put anyone in a mission to do anything about it because he doesn't care. But we know that's not true. God cares, and God cares immensely. And because God cares, he wants to give you and me a mission to show that care to the world. We must do the works of him who sent Jesus while it's day, while we have that opportunity in front of us. Now, I want you to notice, when did Jesus do this work in this man's life in John chapter 9? When did Jesus demonstrate these works of him who sent him? When did Jesus pay attention to this man? The very first phrase in John chapter 9, verse 1 was this: "As he walked along, Jesus saw a man." How many times do we think, well, maybe someday. Maybe someday I'll get involved in using my spiritual gifts within the life of the church or the greater world, or I'll start to demonstrate care for those who are in need of such care. Maybe someday when the kids go off to school, or maybe someday when I retire, or maybe someday when I'm not so busy. I mean, I'm really busy right now. We keep giving ourselves excuses. Or maybe we think it's about a degree. Well, I can't do ministry. I don't have the degree for that. I don't have the title for that. I don't have the resume to actually make a difference in this world. You know, I think the world would have us think that. The world would have us think that, how could we possibly have a mission from God? No way could we ever do that. We can't have a mission. You know, the day is going to come when God is not going to ask you, did you live in the right neighborhood? The day is going to come when God is not going to ask you, did you have a significant portfolio? The day is going to come when God is not going to ask you, did you achieve financial security or did you get the promotion? But the day may well come when Jesus says, did you do my work? Did you do my work? Did you look and see in the eyes the people who are around you? Did you pay attention? Did you notice the people around you? Did you fully turn and notice them? Because when you notice someone, when you pay attention, it changes things. It changes them. It changes their behavior. It changes their life. It really does. I just want to point out one thing. Notice how unseen this man was. In that last portion that I just read to you from John 9, after this man recovers his eyesight, here this man had been, I don't know, 20 years? 30 years? How old was this man? We know he was an adult, yet his parents are still alive, so he was not an old man, yet he's an adult because he has to answer for himself. So he's an adult. Let's say he's 20 or 30 years old. This man had been at this gate, let's say for 20 to 30 years, begging with the same neighbors and the same people walking by him every single day. Yet when he receives the miracle of the cure, he's given his eyesight, There's a debate among his friends and neighbors as to whether this is really the man or not. In other words, people had not looked at him very closely. They had not even paid enough attention to him that when he was cured, they could say that this was the man or it wasn't the man. Amazing how unnoticed some things can be and some people can be. You know, it's an amazing thing, really, the capacity of human beings to not pay attention to those who are in our orbit each and every day. It's a spectacular thing when you think about it. God brings the disciples up onto a mountain